Tweedledum and Tweedledee agreed to have a battle.
Two identical girls of about six sit on a roundabout, haunting Sarah. Kim Raver. Two sleeping babies in matching baby grows lie side by side in a cot. The two identical blonde girls who wear matching pink dresses fight over a baby doll.
Since the dawn of time, people have been fascinated and a little frightened by identical twins. They are, after all, two halves of the same whole.
One of the girls is blindfolded.
If one is hurt, does the other feel pain? Can they read each other's minds? Maybe this special bond is only revealed when it's tested.
The blindfolded girl stands on the edge of a curb and sticks a foot out. She pulls it back in as a car drives past. She turns to her sister.
I heard you.
The two pretty girls smile at each other. Halloween, 25 years later. Cars are parked outside a large, white-painted, Art Deco-inspired house. Inside, a pair of fluffy pink and white ears pop up from behind a curved, railing-topped wall. They belong to a person in a rabbit costume who stands between two people wearing scary masks. The three of them peep through the railings at partygoers on the floor below, all of whom are wearing a variety of Halloween costumes. Alison Seeley Smith, Rick Roberts, introducing Neve Wilson. A man in a cartoon bear costume walks through the party, a glass of wine in his hand. Ryland Thiessen, Gordon Tanner. He passes a woman dressed in black. She's holding a mask resembling a hag with a green face, long black hair, pointy teeth and blank white eyes. She makes her way over to a staircase and is joined by a woman in an identical costume. The first woman whispers to the second, then the two hags walk back towards the party. One of the hags wears a blue flower in her nylon hair, the other a pink one. The women pause. One of them holds up a glass of wine, the other taps the glass with a spoon. The guests turn to face them. The women, identical twins, remove their masks.
Thank you all for respecting our request for wearing scary costumes.
Hey, Heather, don't you think you should take your mask off too?
Very funny. Since this was my sister's idea, I'm going to pass it over to Erica. Thank you all for coming. Everyone looks really great. I thought it'd be fun to celebrate Halloween the way the ancient Celts did. They believe that on October 31st, spirits of the recently departed flew through the air, searching for unsuspecting bodies to possess. So they would dress as ghouls themselves, trying to fool the evil spirits and passing them by.
Wow.
But ghosts aren't real, are they, Aunt Erica?
Yes, they are, David. Rosie says they are.
Well, I said there are spirits all around us, but they're not looking to possess us.
Positive?
Positive.
David smiles.
Well, just to make sure, they would put out the fires in their fireplaces so that the evil spirits would pass overhead and think that nobody was home. Go quick, turn out all the lights. Go, 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 go. Go keep an eye on them.
The sisters smile at each other as the kids run off. Sarah to David.
Get your shoes light up. You better hide them. No, Sarah. Let me.
Sarah, in the rabbit costume, helps David to remove his trainers which have lights flashing on them. They stand up and run to turn off a light. Erica is with a dark-haired man.
Excuse me while I sap your sister's blood.
Heather forces a smile.
Hey.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, who are you supposed to be?
I'm a guy who just got in from Atlanta.
Oh.
I was just working on a huge deal. He's been traveling a lot.
I'm so tired. My body's not worth possessing.
Erica, did you tell them about the book?
Mm.
Her agent sold it. Apparently the publisher, they flipped for it.
Is this a new one?
Yeah, I'm interviewing sets of identical twins to see if twin mythology had any impact on how they view themselves. All those myths. One twin is good and one twin is evil. Which one are you, Heather? Oh, and you'd like to know.
The sisters smile as all of the lights go out. Rosie to the kids.
Last couple of candles, guys.
This is fun. Erica, look at those two. They're more like twins than we ever were.
Sarah.
What should we do now, Mommy?
Erica looks at her husband.
I think I just saw some spirits heading this way. Be very, very quiet.
Shh, 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 shh. Shh. Oh, oh, oh.
Goodbye.
Good job.
That's it.
Come on, Sarah. Let's go see if we can catch them flying away.
Okay, yeah. Let's go.
They run to the front door. They stand on the doorstep.
Mommy!
What is it?
We forgot the jack-o'-lantern, so the girls know where David lives.
Heather smiles.
Yeah, let's go.
Go see if the ghost is
out. Day. Inside a tenement building, Sarah's in bed. Erica sits stroking her hair.
Mommy.
Yeah, sweetie, it's a tummy ache, okay?
But it really, really hurts.
Well, you know what? Why don't you stay home from school today and rest?
Can you stay home with me?
I would love to, but I have to go to work. Rosie's gonna stay with you, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
Mommy, where's Robbie?
Honey, I don't know. Where'd you leave him last?
My backpack, but he isn't here.
Well, maybe you left him at school.
I didn't. I lost him. I know I lost him.
David, why don't you try your pockets?
Good idea.
Heather crouches down and helps David look through his bag.
This happens every morning. Oh, he's right there. Here he is.
Robbie!
Thanks. You're welcome. Let's go. Grab your jacket.
Erica runs into her kitchen. To Rosie.
Not to state the obvious, but no candy for her today. Oh, you think?
Did you call Heather?
Oh, shoot. I forgot. I'll call her on the road.
All right.
Okay. You're so late. You're so late.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye. I love you.
Yeah. Mm. I love you, too. Mm.
Bye, Rosie.
Bye.
Bye, Rosie.
Heather drives her Porsche Cayenne S up to Erica's building. Rosie leans out of a window.
Hey! Sarah's got a stomachache. I guess Erica forgot to call you.
Or she remembered to call but forgot her cell phone. Tell Sarah the doctor and the family says no more candy.
No worries. Already been hidden.
See ya!
In a lecture theater...
Why are you here? There had to have been other courses more relevant to your major. Or at least classes that weren't held so early in the morning. But you chose mythology. Or did you? What if there are dark, unknowable forces? Forces that have the power to create and or the power to annihilate.
Images on a screen.
Heaven and earth in the eyes of the ancient Egyptians. Good and evil in the eyes of medieval Europeans.
A Renaissance painting.
The great hoop of the universe in the eyes of the Navajo. Three disparate cultures with one distinct message. These walls between heaven and earth, good and evil, and life and death, are illusions. And whether we're from Mesopotamia or modern day Chicago, we all have the same burning existential questions.
David waits to cross a road.
Alright, let's go.
David and Heather cross.
So I'll try to pick you up after school, alright?
Hi, guys.
Oh, hi, how are you?
Good. Where's Sarah?
Acute candyitis, which I'm sure I'm gonna see lots of today.
Hey, Dr. Lauren, my scar's almost gone. You wanna see?
Why were we born?
David feels his rucksack for his toy robot, which has fallen onto the road. He turns around and sees it lying on the tarmac.
Why is there suffering?
A scruffy youth drives along a road, his attention fixed on a mobile phone in his hand as he sends a text message. He looks up to see David walking into the middle of the road. David picks up his toy and stands up, staring in shock as he sees the car speeding towards him. Heather hears the screeching tires and turns around, her eyes wide. She screams David's name. The toy robot flies through the air. David's hand falls down hard onto the tarmac, his glasses skid across the ground. David's body lies in the middle of the road, several meters from where the car has stopped. Heather runs over to him. Fleeting images of David screaming. Sarah lies asleep in bed.
Sarah.
At a hospital. A frantic Erica runs along a corridor. She comes to a room and stares through the glass, her expression pained as she watches Heather cradle her dead son. A black and white painting hangs on a wall in Erica's apartment. Rosie's sitting in the kitchen when Erica gets home. Rosie looks at Erica with sympathy, not knowing what to say. She stands to comfort her, but Erica turns away and puts her book, briefcase and bag down on the table. Edgar walks up behind Erica as she removes the silk scarf from around her neck. He hugs her tightly as she dissolves into tears, holding the now crumpled scarf to her face.
Haven't said anything to Sarah. She fell asleep watching cartoons.
Erica gives a gentle nod. Pretty blonde Sarah lies fast asleep in bed. Erica strokes her shoulder to wake her.
Sarah. Hey. Hey, pumpkin.
Hey. Erica looks down at her daughter uncomfortably.
I have to tell you something.
I know. David's gone away.
Who told you?
David did.
Sweetie, that's not possible. David isn't here anymore.
Yes, he is. He's right over there.
Sarah points to a photograph pinned to her wall. It's of David, who has his mouth and eyes wide open, and Sarah, who rests her head on his shoulder. Erica bites her lip.
Sarah, listen to me. David was in a terrible accident today, and he died.
I know, silly. He told me in my dream.
Erica stares at her.
Can I have a snack?
Sarah sits up and jumps out of bed. Erica covers her face with her hand as her eyes fill with tears. A caption, 6 weeks later. Erica and Sarah let themselves into Heather's house.
Heather? Heather?
What's wrong with her?
Erica shuts the door.
I don't know. I think she's a little sad.
Still?
Yeah, honey, why don't you go play?
Sarah runs off. Erica walks up the staircase, which is strewn with posts, magazines, and toys. She picks them up and puts them on a ledge.
Heather?
Looking worried, Erica puts her bag down and continues up the stairs. She looks over the railing at Sarah in the room below, who's waving out of the floor-to-ceiling windows.
Heather?
A home video of David is playing on a TV screen. Erica pokes her head around a bedroom door. Baby photos litter the floor. Heather is searching through a basket of toys.
What's going on, Heather?
I can't find Robbie. And I can see myself David's toy, I can't find it.
She looks down sadly.
I looked everywhere. I know that they gave it to me the day that I went to the hospital, and they gave me the rest of his stuff because he had it that day.
Heather stares at Erica for a moment, then looks away, lost. She looks back up at her sister.
Hi, I'm David Lord, and I'm going to grow up to be a famous
filmmaker. I'm afraid.
Too close.
I'm afraid of losing the memory of him.
Erica looks at the video of David. Upset, Heather continues to look through the basket. Sarah pokes her head around the door.
Here he is, Aunt Heather.
Sarah has the robot. A relieved smile spreads across Heather's face. Chinese takeout cartons and dirty dishes litter Heather's kitchen. Erica's tidying up. Heather and Sarah sit on an armchair in the lounge. Sarah has an arm around her aunt.
Can I tell you a secret, Aunt Heather?
Erica watches them with a smile. A bright full moon hangs in an inky black sky. Sarah's standing on her bed in front of her open window, playing paper, scissors, stone.
I win! Yes, I do!
She seems to be talking to herself. Erica is sitting at her desk, working. She looks across at a video of two young identical twin boys who are bashing each other over the head with their fists. She looks up as she hears a noise. Erica frowns.
Edgar?
She looks around nervously, then stands up. Erica, who's wearing striped pajama bottoms, a grey vest top and a blue hooded top, listens for a few moments, then walks out of the room. She opens the door to her bedroom. A monkey screams out from a TV screen. Erica looks over at Edgar, fast asleep on the bed, the remote control in his hand. She goes over to the TV and switches it off, then walks back out of the room. Erica walks slowly along the corridor. She stands outside Sarah's bedroom and listens to Sarah chattering away inside. Suddenly, the door blows open.
I'm not playing anymore.
What are you doing, honey? What's this doing open?
I opened it.
Erica closes the window.
Oh, it's freezing. Quick, come on, get into bed. Here, scooch over, I'll get in with you.
Erica snuggles down next to Sarah.
David says paper doesn't wrap rock in heaven, but I think he's cheating.
Well, I think you should be sleeping. Night-night.
Sarah closes her eyes, a contented smile on her face.
Sarah is a very bright little girl.
Yes. Sarah and David were very close.
More siblings than cousins, really.
Yeah, and I'm sure it's nothing, and it was probably just her way of processing David's death, but she talks about David all the time.
Which is fine, because we did encourage her to talk about David. I mean,
yeah, but it's how she talks about him.
Well, it's like she doesn't really understand that he's dead.
I mean, she hasn't cried, not once.
And her crying about this is important to you?
Erica looks awkward.
Well, it's just... it's not that it's important. I don't know. I mean, she cried when my mother died, so I just kind of thought it was normal.
Well, maybe Sarah senses you feel like that, and she's rebelling. It's a very age-appropriate response. At 7, it's all about asserting your independence.
So, what do we do?
Nothing. She may not be crying, but she's grieving. And she's telling you she needs to do it in her own way. Let her.
Erica and Edgar look unconvinced. A series of children's drawings decorate a wall in a classroom. Sarah sits at a table, colouring in with a crayon. The teacher, a short-haired woman in her 30s, walks amongst the pupils as they work. She goes to Sarah.
Is that the accident?
No.
What is it?
I don't know.
You doing okay, Sarah?
Yeah.
To the rest of the class.
Okay, put your supplies away.
She faces them.
Today is the first Monday of the month, and that means we have a new class leader. Ben.
Blonde-haired Ben smiles in delight. The teacher places a red and blue ribbon with a gold medal attached to it around his neck, and he waves his arms triumphantly. Sarah snaps the orange wax crayon, her jaw set in an angry grimace. Later, she hangs by her arms from hoops on a playframe. Ben comes towards her from the opposite direction.
Move, Sarah. David says it's not your turn to be class leader. It's his. David doesn't get a turn. He's dead.
Sarah screws her face up. She kicks out at Ben, hitting him in the stomach. He falls to the ground in pain. Later, Edgar and Erica sit in a traffic jam in their dark-coloured SUV. Sarah's in the back.
Sarah, you don't like Ben?
Sarah ignores him.
Teacher says you've been acting out in class. He's been telling the other kids that David isn't really dead, but you know that's not true, right?
Edgar.
What, they call us out of work in the middle of the day to come and get her? They say I should talk with her. I'm talking.
Can we just do this when I get home?
Edgar drives on. Sarah glances out of the window. She sees that the SUV is reflected in the shiny surface of a large oil tanker as Edgar drives past it. She looks up at the driver in the truck pulling the tanker. The man, who's in his 50s, with a chinstrap beard and glasses, looks down at her. Sarah suddenly looks concerned.
Why are we taking the bridge?
What are you talking about? We always take the bridge.
The truck's behind the SUV.
Very nice. David told me.
No, David doesn't tell you things. No, I just don't want her to talk about David, okay?
Edgar turns away, uncomfortable.
But he...
No, I mean it. Sarah, no more David, okay? This has gone far enough. I don't think that your mommy and I have done a very good job.
We can't get on the bridge. We can't. I had to go to the bathroom.
Well, we're almost home, so.
I can't wait.
Yes, you can. It's 10 minutes.
We can't. I had to go to the bathroom. Please, mommy.
Sarah!
I could just pull over. We'll find a gas station or something.
As Edgar turns the car round, Sarah stares, her grey-blue eyes wide at two old ladies sitting in the boot of a beige station wagon. The women watch her bemused. As the SUV drives away, the green tanker truck pulls up behind the station wagon. An oval nameplate just above the front grille reads Peterbilt. Sarah pours frosted wheat flakes into two cereal bowls and takes them over to the kitchen table. She begins to tuck into one of them.
Did you put your homework in your folder?
Yeah.
Rosie picks up a plastic folder, then looks at a picture underneath it.
Did you draw this?
Yeah, but it was David's idea. He told me what to draw.
Erica walks in and puts a newspaper down on the table. She looks at Rosie.
Sarah, listen to me. We're not going to talk about David like that anymore, okay? And we're not going to save a spot for him at the table or put out cereal anymore, all right?
Okay.
Okay.
To Rosie.
Can you get it packed up?
Sure.
Thanks. Rosie takes Sarah's bags and her drawing to the table.
Okay, Miss Thing. Let's get going.
Sarah puts her cereal bowl on the kitchen island, then walks back to Rosie.
Hey, hang on a second. What happened to your neck? Did you bump into something?
No.
Sarah has two small marks on the back of her neck. Rosie picks up Sarah's drawing, then notices a headline on the front page of the newspaper. It reads, Multiple Fatalities on Deer Creek Bridge. Below it is a black and white photo of a jackknife tanker truck and a smashed car. Rosie looks at the drawing. It's of the same image. Edgar closes the SUV's boot.
Right.
Sarah's sitting in the back seat.
I'm gonna get my visitors, Daddy.
Yeah, I'm gonna try, all right?
Okay.
Have fun?
Yeah.
Hey. They do have stores up near the cabin, you know that, right?
All right, smarty pants, they're for the car.
Thanks, you too.
Erica and Edgar kiss. Rosie's sitting in the passenger seat.
Hey, come on, we agree this is the best thing for Sarah, right? Mm-hmm. Getting her out of the city, away from all the reminders of David.
Mm-hmm.
It's gonna do wonders for her, okay?
Heather, we can always try another specialist.
A sign on a door reads, Dr. Sandowski, Reproductive Endocrinology. A smartly dressed Richard and Heather walk out of the office and pause. Heather's face is solemn, her eyes moist. She looks at her husband, who tightens his lips and walks on.
Come on, Heather.
Heather follows after him. The SUV drives along an open road.
When are we gonna get there?
Be there soon.
A sign outside a hospital waiting room reads, Dr. H. Lord, Patient Check-in, Pediatrician. Heather, wearing a white doctor's coat and carrying a stethoscope, walks through the waiting area where a number of children are sitting with their parents. She walks into an office at the end of the corridor, turns back and looks at them. Distressed, her breathing becomes heavy and her eyes fill with tears. The SUV turns into a driveway and pulls up in front of a double garage which has a pitched roof and is made from slatted wood. Erica and Sarah get out of the vehicle. Sarah runs across a vast lawn and past a huge house, made from the same materials as the garage. Tree branches blooming with lush green foliage sway in a heavy wind. Waves lash against a concrete wall at the bottom of the garden. Sarah stands and looks out over the lake. Erica, Sarah and Rosie, who's holding the bag of groceries, walk into the tastefully furnished house and look around.
Oh. I don't think anyone's been here since last summer. Oh well, Sarah and I are going to give this place a good clean tomorrow.
Erica walks towards a shelf, on top of which sit two framed photographs. One is an old black and white photo of the house. The other shows Erica and Heather as children with a blonde woman. Erica wipes away tears.
Mommy, what's wrong?
This place reminds me of my mom.
It was her favorite place in the whole world. Come
here. Erica sits on the arm of a sofa and pulls Sarah towards her. She hugs her daughter tightly.
Do you miss her?
Yeah.
Erica's eyes are moist.
She misses you too.
Erica's smile fades. Another day. Erica is sitting on the lawn in front of her laptop. Rosie is putting sun cream onto Sarah's back.
I'm tired. I don't feel like swimming.
Honey, you're gonna love it once you get in.
How come you aren't coming in then?
Because I'm a mommy, and mommies like it nice and warm.
Don't look at me. I'm a mommy too.
Is Aunt Heather still a mommy?
Sarah?
Maybe she could come in with me.
Heather walks into the garden.
Can one more join the party?
Hi, Aunt Heather!
Hey!
Erica smiles at Heather, confused. Rosie looks bewildered. Sarah waves at her aunt. Later, wearing a wetsuit and goggles, Sarah stands on a small moored raft and waves.
Hey, Aunt Heather! Look at me! Watch this!
Wow, that was great!
Heather, what are the chances of having another child?
Not enough viable eggs to justify in vitro is kind of how the doctor put it. You can always try again, right?
Heather looks away.
Yeah, I don't know if I can handle another loss right now. I told Richard that I needed some more time, and Janice is going to cover my practice for me for the summer. Well, I'm glad you're here.
Hey, Aunt Heather, did you see that one?
Cookie, I missed it. Do it again.
Sarah jumps off the wooden raft and into the lake. Heather watches her niece.
You know, I blamed you at first. I kept thinking that if you had called me that morning, I wouldn't have come by your house. We would have gotten to David's school sooner. I know. It's kind of been sitting there between us, so I thought I'd put it out there. You know, so I can move on. We all can move on.
Pretty, long, blonde-haired Erica looks at her sister, who smiles.
I'm happy I'm here.
Erica looks at the lake. She becomes concerned.
See Sarah? Sarah?
She's nowhere to be seen.
Sarah!
Sarah peers out from behind a group of wooden poles.
Here I am.
Oh. What are you doing?
Playing hide and seek.
Oh, baby, don't do that. You scared me. Don't do that.
Sarah grins at her mum. Later, Rosie sits on the edge of Sarah's bed.
It's all Miss Thing. You know you shouldn't scare your mama like that, right?
It was fun.
No, it didn't sound like any kind of fun to me.
That's because you're mean.
Oh, you think so? Or is that what he thinks?
Sarah looks away.
I thought so.
Something watches Rosie through the window.
Protect this child. Look. I made you a friendship bracelet.
He's my friend.
No, he isn't, baby. He really, really isn't.
Sarah looks at the crudely braided bracelet on her wrist.
Night, night now.
Night, night.
Sarah turns onto her side to go to sleep. Rosie looks down at the little girl in concern, then stands up and leaves the room. Heather, her long hair tied back in a ponytail, stands at the end of a jetty. She looks out across the dark, still water, then jogs back towards the house. Erica's in the kitchen peeling apples. Rosie walks in looking a little preoccupied.
Hey, she down?
Yeah.
We're really gonna have to watch her up here. Not just in the water, I mean all the time. She's been wandering off alone.
Yeah, you notice she's still got those bruises on her shoulders?
Yeah.
Erica, have you ever heard of hands?
Like a voodoo hand?
Rosie stares at Erica.
Oh, come on, Rosie.
Spirits looking to cross back over. Grab onto the neck of a living person and they won't let go.
I know what it is. I teach you stuff, remember?
David always was stubborn, had to have his own way. It's not that hard to believe he can't accept he's dead.
Or she simply just bumped into something. She's a kid.
Do kids draw pictures of car crashes that haven't happened yet?
Look, her therapist thought it was perfectly normal considering what she's going through.
He's talking to her, Erica.
Oh.
I mean, how else does she know the details, the truck? He's showing off for her, letting her know he can see the future.
Oh, so David's ghost is a psychic now, too, huh?
Look me in the eye, Erica, and tell me that drawing didn't spook you.
It didn't spook me. It made me sad, Rosie. She used to draw happy pictures.
Okay, now, maybe I'm a little out of line here, but I thought the whole point of coming up here was to keep her away from things that might remind her of David.
Are you referring to Heather?
Maybe her leaving her job was good for her, but is it good for Sarah?
You are out of line now.
Rosie turns as Heather, who'd been listening outside, walks in.
Hey.
Erica chucks an apple.
Thanks.
Heather takes a bite. Rosie looks awkward.
How's your run?
Was good. Thanks.
Good.
Heather clocks Erica, giving Rosie a dirty look.
Oh my God, Rosie's the bracelet. I can't get it off. Her wrist is too swollen. Heather, get the scissors out of the medicine cabinet.
No, Rosie gave it to me.
She must be allergic. What's it made of?
Just leather with some herbs braided in.
Please, Mommy, don't cut it off.
Baby, I have to. It's hurting your wrist, okay?
No, Rosie said I needed it to protect me.
It's okay, baby. I'll protect you.
I got it.
Heather cuts the bracelet off Sarah's bleeding wrist. The window suddenly slams open, knocking a lamp off a chest of drawers in front of it. Heather rushes to close it.
Erica, wash it off with soap and water and give her an antihistamine for the swelling.
Erica nods.
That's enough excitement for one night. I'm gonna go close the windows in the rest of the house, okay?
Later, Erica joins Heather in the lounge.
I gave her the antihistamine. Oh, she's finally asleep.
She sits down.
I love Rosie, you know I do. She's like a member of the family, but her beliefs might not be the best thing for Sarah. It was a friendship bracelet. With protective powers, it was just a game. You know, David's death affected all of us, including Rosie. And she's teaching Sarah to be afraid. Is that what you want?
Just think about it, Erica.
Sitting in front of a roaring open fire, Erica looks at her sister in shock.
Maybe this would be a good time for her to take a break. Heather, I have to finish this draft. I haven't published anything in 2 years. Well, so let me help out. What else am I gonna do up here? Maybe you're right. I'll talk to her in the morning. I think I saw her light on. She's probably still awake.
Heather walks off. Erica sits troubled, the light from the fire casting an orange glow across her face. She leans forwards and rests her chin on her hands as she stares into the fire, the flames of which flicker and dance in the grate. Rosie stands by the open window in her bedroom and stares out of it.
Come in.
Erica enters.
Hi.
Rosie looks away. Erica folds her arms, uncomfortable.
Rosie, I think maybe now would be a good time for you to go see your kids.
Stop raining.
Yeah.
Look at the lake. Reminds me of my grandmother's house in Barbados. During hurricane season, always be real still in the eye of the storm. Just beautiful. Next thing you know, it'd be tearing your house down.
So what do you think?
I think David's up to something. I don't know what, but he's got a plan and Sarah's a part of it.
David is dead. And it's not doing anyone any good talking about him as if he's still alive, especially not for Sarah. Now, I respect your beliefs, I do.
Erica, we're so far beyond respecting beliefs here. The longer he's caught between worlds, the angrier he's gonna
get. Rosie, stop it. Look, I think we could all use a break from one another. At least for the summer, and then come September, we can reassess. There's a bus back to the city first thing in the morning, and I think it would be best for Sarah if you left before she woke up. Heather will take you in the morning.
Rosie stares at Erica, downhearted. The next morning, Heather's Porsche drives along a road. A man and a woman walk out of a store, next to which is parked a large bus. Heather's Porsche pulls up alongside it. Heather removes her sunglasses and turns to a distracted Rosie.
What's going on, Rosie?
She didn't tell you.
No.
You know I love that little girl, right?
Of course.
Do me this favor. Take the bracelet. Put it under Sarah's mattress. Erica doesn't need to know.
Heather takes it.
Sure.
Thank you. Thank you.
Sure.
Rosie makes to get out of the car.
Rosie, don't worry about it. This will all blow over in a couple of days. Come on, you know the way Erica is. And in the meantime, I'll work on her, and I'm sure I can turn this all around, okay?
Okay, everybody on. About 2 minutes.
Rosie gets out of the car. Heather puts her sunglasses back on. Then, as soon as Rosie's back is turned, throws the bracelet into a tank of water. Rosie stops as if sensing something, then carries on towards the bus. Heather drives away. A caption, 1 week later. A curtain flutters in a gentle breeze. Erica lies in bed. She wakes when she hears laughing. Erica listens with a frown, then sits up. She stands and walks out of her bedroom. Erica paces along the landing to Sarah's bedroom. She listens at the door for a few seconds, then opens it and looks inside the room. She closes the door again and carries on along the landing.
Sarah.
Erica looks over the railing into the room below.
Sarah.
Erica, we're in here. Hey.
They're in the kitchen.
Hey. Sarah couldn't sleep.
Could have woken me up.
No, I don't mind. I've been a light sleeper myself lately.
Erica looks down at Sarah, who's sitting at the kitchen table drawing. She smiles.
Can I see?
Sarah shows her the drawing.
We're gonna build a dollhouse.
Erica looks at the well-done drawing of a large green-painted house.
This is great.
Later, the sisters and Sarah are inside a general store.
The man said the wood is in the back.
It is nice to see her excited about something. She's been so lethargic. Yeah, who knows? Maybe we have an architect in the family. Yeah, well, we could use one. Edgar met with a real estate agent, and basically there is nothing in our price range. Don't worry, you'll find something. Yeah, well, we have to. We've outgrown our apartment. We need more space.
Yeah, well, space is overrated.
Yeah, says the woman who lives in a huge house.
Heather glares.
Okay, I'll go get the paint.
I hear someone needs wood for a dollhouse.
That's right.
When you two smile, you look just like twins.
Erica's heard.
I tend to go one way and Jillian goes the other way. It's hard to say if that's something that we just like those styles and those particular things just because of who we are, or if it's purely based on the facts that we want to try and run the opposite ways to be more of an individual.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, I've almost finished transcribing the twin interviews.
Hey, that was fast.
Yeah. Heather and Sarah are so intent on this dollhouse, I can barely talk them into taking a swim.
Yeah, no partners to your procrastination, huh?
Nope. Honey, I'm kind of lonely up here. I miss you.
Hey, I miss you too, but it sounds like you're doing great.
And the realtor's still looking for us. Hey, how's Heather?
Hey, we're running into town to get some stronger glue. Our walls are falling down. Hang on, why don't you have her stay here with me?
Oh, well, she's already in the car.
Heather goes.
Good. Yeah, Heather's good.
Erica bites her lip unhappily. Later, Erica walks into the dining room clutching a mug. She removes her glasses and looks at the pieces of wood, paints, and other dollhouse-making materials scattered about the room. She smiles. Erica hammers a nail through two pieces of wood, which form one corner of the house. Sarah watches her through the screen door.
What are you doing?
Hey, look, I'm helping. I got the walls to stay up.
No, you've ruined it. That's not how they go.
Don't take that tone with me.
Take them down now!
Sarah grabs the hammer.
Sarah, stop it. Sarah, what are you doing? Stop it. Listen to me. Come here. Give that to me. If this can't be fun for everyone, then maybe we shouldn't do it.
I have to do it. I'm making it for David.
Sarah!
Sarah runs to Heather.
What's wrong?
Heather looks at Erica, who seethes. Heather smiles at her sister as the two of them walk off. Night. Someone runs along the landing to Sarah's room. Heather sits in bed with her.
I told your mom that you wanted to make a memorial for him.
What's a memorial?
It's like a statue that people make for someone who's dead. She believed me, but we have to be more careful.
Why can't we just tell her?
We will. Just not yet. She's not ready to hear it.
Erica lies asleep in bed. She wakes and looks around. Her bed is now in a vertical position, and she slowly steps away from it onto the jetty. She stares out at the lake, her hair blowing in the wind, her long white nightdress billowing out behind her. She turns and sees herself as a little girl. Sarah and David stand at the far end of the jetty, both holding large, bright red balloons. Young Erica turns and looks out over the lake. Adult Erica spins around and sees herself and Heather as children. They're holding the red balloons. Erica walks along the jetty. Sarah and David now hold the balloons.
Look at us! When we smile, we look just like twins!
In bed, Erica twists and turns as her dream continues. Sarah and David hold the balloons, now the six-year-old twins. Sarah and David let go of the balloons. All of the children disappear.
Hey, what is it? What's wrong? Where's Aunt Heather?
It's not Aunt Heather. It's the baby.
What baby?
Sarah pulls back the bedclothes.
There's something wrong with the baby.
Erica looks down at her nightdress. A patch of blood is spread across it. Erica lies on a bed as a doctor performs a sonogram.
How many weeks pregnant?
From the look of this, I'd say about 12 weeks. The bleeding is due to a small separation on the uterine wall here. Now, these things usually resolve themselves, but we'll want to keep an eye on it. Bed rest for 3 weeks, then we'll do another sonogram and see where we're at.
Thank you.
At the cabin with Edgar.
The doctor said I have to stay in bed for at least 3 weeks.
So you really had, you had no idea that you were pregnant?
I've used my period before, and we hadn't officially started trying yet.
Yeah. Well, I guess no one told the baby that, so that's it.
Erica looks worried.
Honey, how'd Sarah know?
Oh, she must have known we were thinking about it. She's a pretty intuitive kid.
I mean, she knew that there was something wrong, honey. But I mean, before I even stood up, she knew.
Hey, who cares how she knew? Important thing is this is good news, right?
Edgar puts his head onto Erica's stomach.
Hello. Hello. It's your daddy. Hey there. Okay.
All right, let's see what we got going on here.
Erica marks a date off on a calendar. Another day.
Come in. Wow, honey, that looks amazing.
Breakfast.
Go on, Cookie. Did you make that by yourself? No. Aunt Heather help you? You want to share it?
I'm not really hungry right now.
So why do you have to eat something? You're getting too skinny. No, don't worry about it. She already ate. I made her pancakes. We'd been up for hours.
Erica forces a smile.
Why don't you keep your mommy company while she eats?
It's okay.
Sarah looks at her mum.
It's okay. Go ahead, go play. Good job, Cookie.
Sarah runs off. Erica looks down.
I feel like she's slipping away from me. I can't tell you how many of my patients tell me that when they're pregnant with number two. It's just a natural pulling away. Yeah, but I'm not pulling away. She is. You're all she talks about. Really? Really? You and the baby.
A square wooden playpen sits in the doll's house.
Why don't you guys bring the dollhouse up here? That way I can help too. It's a great idea. You know, it's really heavy. I don't know if we can lift it. But Maybe if we took it apart, we could bring it up in pieces.
No, don't do that.
You sure?
Erica looks annoyed.
Yeah.
Erica, her knees pulled up to her chest, sits on the bed looking downcast. Later, a video clip of two young twin boys is paused on a laptop screen. Books and a couple of notepads are scattered about on Erica's bed, along with a laptop. Erica stands at her window and looks out at Sarah and Heather. Heather swings Sarah on a tire rope swing. Erica looks down at them sadly. Erica looks away thoughtfully, then moves back from the window. She walks slowly out of her room and down the wooden staircase. A paint-splattered sheet covers a large cube-shaped object, which rests on a low table in the lounge-cum-dining room. Erica paces towards it. She bends down to lift the sheet.
Erica, are you trying to lose this baby? Get upstairs. Now.
Erica glares at Heather, then walks away. Bedroom. She puts down her notepad, then picks up the phone and goes to dial.
Erica has been acting very strange.
She's scared and she's lonely, and you guys are having all this fun decorating the dollhouse.
I know. I've tried to include her. We even brought the wallpaper swatches up for her to look at. She just didn't seem that into it.
Come on, you know Erica. Interior decorating isn't exactly her forte.
Come on. Piles of books and papers can be very chic.
Yeah. Yeah, for a dorm room.
A video of two teens.
Move in the office and just be like, stop that. Stop that, Julie. Stop it. And she's like,
no, cat fights.
It's just so late. Just, I don't know. Exactly.
Sarah.
We get into like cat fights.
Sarah peeks around the door.
Hey. I've got a surprise for you. I made something for your dollhouse. Look, I took an old yogurt container and then I put this felt on there for a tablecloth. And if you give me some toothpicks, maybe I can put little chairs around it.
Okay, can I go there?
Come here. Come cuddle just a little bit with me, okay?
I can't, Aunt Heather's waiting.
Fine, go.
Upset, Erica looks tearful as Sarah runs back out of the room. Erica shakes her head, annoyed, as she listens to Sarah and Heather laughing. She stands up and makes her way out of her bedroom.
No, it's what we talked about. No. What'd she want?
Just to give me this.
Well, you shouldn't have gone by there. You didn't tell her, did you?
No.
Good girl. Just go away. Sarah?
Don't come in.
What are you guys doing?
Nothing.
Erica tries to open Sarah's bedroom door. It's locked.
Heather, open up the door. This was supposed to be our vacation. Heather, look, you can't just come up here and take over.
But Mommy.
It's okay, Cookie. Her name is not Cookie. It's Sarah, and you're not her mother. Open up this door. Heather, open. What are you guys doing?
She ruined it.
It's okay. Jeez, Erica, we were trying to surprise you. We managed to get it upstairs. What are you talking about?
Heather opens the door wide. Erica gapes at the finished dollhouse.
Oh my God. That's amazing. No wonder you guys have been so busy. You wanna show me? Wow. Oh, sweetie, I'm sorry I ruined the surprise.
It has fireplaces.
Oh yeah?
Erica stares in through one of the windows in the green-painted, perfectly made house, with its pitched roof, covered porch and turret. Fairy lights have been tacked along the walls and the rooms have been tastefully furnished with miniature tables and chairs and other accessories.
Here, look at this. You'd be careful though. Lift right, right there.
Erica lifts back one side of the roof to discover an attic room, complete with a chest of drawers, pendulum wall clock, rug and upholstered chairs. She looks at Heather.
I'm sorry.
This is great, honey. Wow.
At the hospital.
Good news. Looks like the rupture has healed itself.
Heather looks relieved.
Baby looks good.
Oh, thank God. Does that mean I can get out of bed?
Well, I wouldn't run any marathons, but sure. Resume normal activity.
Can you tell the sex of the baby? I don't want to know.
Even if you wanted to, the way this little one is turned, I can't tell. All I can really see is the face.
The doctor enlarges the image of the fetus on the screen to show the face of a sleeping baby. Heather looks at it rapt, her eyes filling with tears. Erica and the doctor look at her. She smiles, embarrassed.
I'm really happy for her.
Heather wipes a tear away as she smiles down at her sister. Erica stares back at her, unsmiling, then turns and looks back at the monitor, her brow furrowed. Heather, Erica, and Sarah arrive back at the cabin. Erica's face lights up when she sees Edgar appear from around the side of the house. He waves at them.
Hello?
Edgar? Oh my God, Daddy's here.
Here's a surprise.
What do you mean?
You'll see.
Hey!
Edgar's black SUV travels along a leafy suburban road, lined each side with tall trees.
Edgar, where are we going?
Honey, you're gonna love this, I swear.
A blonde woman in a pink top and black trousers jogs past a wide driveway pushing a pushchair. The SUV turns into the driveway and comes to a stop. Erica gets out of the car, her eyes wide with concern.
I called the agent and apparently it had just fallen out of escrow. It's perfect, huh? And the price, it's perfect.
The house is a life-size replica of Sarah's doll's house. Erica gazes at it in shock.
I put an offer on it.
What?
Erica frowns.
I just didn't want to wait for someone to swoop in and take it.
Can we get out of it if it doesn't...
No, it's perfect. Come here, look at this.
Yeah. Erica peers in through a window.
It's perfect. Come here, look at this.
It is perfect.
Heather follows Edgar into the house, a satisfied smile on her face. A caption, 3 months later. The new house is shrouded in darkness. Inside, Edgar pokes at a log fire.
Oh, you think a fire like that would give off a little heat? Freezing.
Okay, well, let's put another log on. Let's get this thing going, then.
Thank you.
Hey, you want to come help me get some wood?
No, thanks.
Edgar walks off. Sarah, who looks thoroughly miserable, plays with her Chinese meal.
Honey, eat your dinner, please.
Not really hungry.
I don't care. I want you to eat something.
She stares at Sarah.
Don't feel so well.
You know what? Then you can be excused.
Sarah puts her chopsticks down on the table and leaves the room. Edgar walks back in, carrying an armful of logs.
Where'd she go?
She doesn't feel well again. She went to bed. You know, a year ago she would have had a total fit. I don't understand. She's not eating, she's not sleeping, she hasn't made any new friends at the school.
Okay, let's just eat, okay? Let's just not analyze Sarah tonight, all right?
I can't stay here.
Look, we agreed. We're just gonna give it some time, right?
Yeah, I've given it time.
Okay, look, we've been through this. The house was listed all summer. There was a big ad, there was pictures, there was a floor plan.
Where? Where could she have seen it? It's not like we get the paper delivered to the cabin.
I don't know. She probably saw it in town. I don't know.
All right, let's say she did see it. How do you explain that you bought the exact same house?
It is not the same house.
Edgar, look at it. Look at the floor in the kitchen, the fireplace, the porch. It's exactly the same.
All right, so why can't that be a good sign?
She shakes her head.
You don't get it.
Erica, now sporting a large pregnancy bump, stands up and leaves the table. Edgar watches her go sadly. Later, Erica lies in bed asleep. She wakes up. Her eyes dart about and she looks confused. Erica pads slowly and cautiously along a dark corridor in her bare feet. She heads towards a white painted door at the end of it. She presses her ear against the door and listens. Inside the room, Sarah is sitting at a small toy piano, hitting its keys as if in a trance. Erica swings the door open. Erica stares wide-eyed.
You won't let me stop playing.
Sarah keeps her head lowered as she hits the keys with one finger. Erica watches her daughter in concern. Another day, Erica and Sarah are in a psychologist's office.
And what would happen if you stopped playing?
He would be alone. His mommy doesn't play with him anymore.
Why doesn't she play with him?
Because my mommy won't let me see my Aunt Heather.
Does that make David sad? Can he tell her that?
He tries to, but she can't hear him.
Sarah drops a crayon on the floor. As she bends to pick it up, the psychologist notices the bruise marks on the back of her neck. She frowns in concern.
Those bruises must hurt. How'd that happen?
I'm not supposed to talk about it.
Later, Erica's in the office.
There is nothing physically wrong with her. They have done every kind of test and they have all come back normal.
So you've been to the doctor a lot?
Yes, constantly. She's lost 5 pounds. She has no energy, no appetite. Their attitude is, if nothing comes back in the lab test, well, then it's just all in my head.
Sarah says she misses her Aunt Heather.
Erica's uncomfortable.
Yeah, we haven't seen her since we got back from the lake.
Tell me about your relationship with Heather.
Erica shifts in her seat and scratches her head.
Why?
Well, I know you two are identical twins. Tell me about that.
How is it relevant?
Does it bother you to talk about Heather?
No, I just...
Because you seem bothered. Are you aware that your entire body language changed when I mentioned her name?
Erica stares at the smug-looking psychologist uneasily. Later, Erica walks into the waiting room where Sarah is sitting drawing.
Let's go, buddy. Here, give me that.
The psychologist closes her door.
That when she fired her nanny, moved Sarah to a new school? It's classic von Munchausen's. Isolating Sarah while she appeals to medical professionals for attention. Honestly, Heather, I'm seriously considering contacting social services, but I wanted to talk to you first.
Erica listens, stunned.
Come on. Let's go.
Back at home.
Sarah, go upstairs.
Why?
Now, go. Heather, get out of my house.
Erica, we're very worried about you.
Get out of my house. What were you doing talking to Dr. Koenig?
Dr. Koenig called me.
Why? Why is she calling you? Sarah is my daughter.
Honey, relax, okay?
Dr. Koenig thinks that you're hurting Sarah.
What?
Erica's incredulous.
Oh, come on. What, you think I'm here beating my daughter while you're at work?
No, of course not.
Well, then get her out of the house so that we can deal with our daughter's problems privately.
Look. I told Dr. Koenig not to call social services, and she won't, as a courtesy to me.
Oh, as a courtesy to you? Do you think this is all about you?
I told her that I would examine Sarah.
The hell you will.
Look, Erica, can we just sit down and discuss this?
Come here.
Because I'm going to have to call Dr. Koenig.
Oh, you know
myself,
what? Okay, let's call social services right now, and we'll tell them the truth. That you think I'm pregnant with the reincarnation of your dead son. Oh, but you know what? Who's going to believe crazy hormonal Erica?
Honey,
No, don't you see what she is doing? She is trying to push me out so that she... No, don't touch me! Get away from me!
All right, okay.
Look, how about this? Let me at least just talk to Sarah. If I have my way, you will never see her again. Now get out!
Edgar nods at Heather.
Yes, go.
Heather walks out past Erica, who stares betrayed at a sheepish Edgar. Erica hurries off. Smartly dressed Heather walks off down the drive. Suddenly, she stops as if sensing something. Heather turns around. Sarah holds a large piece of paper up to a window, with the words, "He's mad," written on it in big red capital letters. Heather turns back and walks away. Erica walks into Sarah's bedroom. Sarah is sitting on her bed. Erica walks over to Sarah and sits beside her. David's toy robot is sitting on a shelf with other toys.
I miss your neck.
Sarah now has a line of bruises.
Honey, how'd you get those?
I'm not sure.
Do they hurt?
A little bit.
I'm really worried about you. Can you tell me what's wrong? No? Do you know what's wrong? Sweetie, I wish you could tell me. Are you afraid? Is it David? Is he telling you something that's scaring you?
Sarah turns and stares at the shelf that David's toy robot is sitting on. Erica glances round to see what Sarah is looking at. She clocks the black-bodied robot with its helmet-like head. Erica stands up and goes to the shelf. She reaches out a hand and picks the toy up.
How'd you get here? Come on.
Sarah follows Erica out of the room. Erica leads Sarah to a stack of dustbins outside. She lifts the lid of one of them and drops the robot in.
You shouldn't have done that.
Erica puts an arm around her daughter and leads her back to the house. Rows of books sit on shelves in a public library. Erica removes one, then looks at the spine of another. She sits at a table in the library, a number of heavy tomes open in front of her. She flicks through one book. At the top of a page in large red text are the words, "The Truth About Hunting." On another page are a series of black and white photographs of people with bruises on various parts of their bodies. Erica studies a photo of a girl with marks in the shape of handprints on her back and shoulders. At the bottom of the photo is a caption, "Their life force now drained by the hunt, the host slips into a coma and will die soon." Erica looks up in horror. She picks up her notes and her handbag and hurries out of the library. Erica pulls up in front of a large beige brick building and hurries inside. She walks into a classroom where children sit at tables working and scans around, a look of panic on her face. To the teacher.
Where's my daughter? I don't understand. Sarah, where is she?
Last I saw, she was with you.
What are you talking about?
The teacher checks a list.
You signed her out 20 minutes ago. There? See?
Erica looks at the list.
Oh my God.
Erica runs out. Back in the car, she screeches up outside Heather's house.
Heather! Sarah!
She bangs on the door frantically.
Heather!
Erica runs round to the back of the house and tries the patio door. It won't budge. Erica turns and picks up a patio chair. She holds it above her head and brings it down hard against the glass door. The glass shatters but stays in one piece. A few more hits and Erica is able to walk inside. She hurries through to the study and looks at the diary on Heather's laptop. A note in it says, 4 p.m. Frank Grigsby, 6127 Division Street. Erica runs off. Buildings. It comes to a stop and Erica gets out. She looks around, then heads towards a door numbered 6217, the words Night Watchman stenciled across the front of it. Erica walks inside.
My daughter's in there.
I'm sorry, you can't go back there.
Why are you mad, David?
I'm sick of waiting. I want to be born now!
Erica hears her.
Move! Get out of my way! Sarah!
Sarah hits herself.
Now!
Sarah!
Now!
Heather, pick him up.
Now! Now!
Oh my God!
Now!
Erica walks towards Sarah. She flies at Erica.
Let go of me!
Sarah's not here. She's with me. Maybe I'll keep her. Maybe we'll both play hide and seek.
Erica sees both Sarah and David trying to strangle her. Sarah claws at her mum's face.
Oh God! Oh my God!
Heather and Grigsby pull Sarah off Erica. Erica sits up, struggling for breath.
What did you do to her? I thought if I could talk to David, that
It would be okay. Look, you would have done the same thing in my position.
Erica punches Heather.
Come here, baby. Get her back. Get her back now!
David, it's time for Sarah to come back. She doesn't belong there with you.
I don't care.
3, 2, 1.
Sarah's eyes go blank and she collapses into Erica's arms.
Oh, sweetie. Mommy, I'm tired.
It's okay, it's okay. Come on. I'm gonna take you home. Get out of my way. Move! Come on.
Erica hurries out carrying Sarah. Later, she's in her bedroom packing a case.
Where will you go?
I don't know. Anywhere. Just not here.
Look, I promise you, I had no idea.
Lie to me. You're on her side.
Erica, please. Look, she is in bed. She is so tired. Just let her sleep.
I can't be around you. I can't be around any of you.
Okay, then I'll go. If that's what it takes, you can stay here. I will go. I'll stay in a motel.
Erica stares open-mouthed at Edgar, who turns and walks away. Saddened, Erica sits down on her bed. Sarah judders and shakes as she sleeps. Erica strokes Sarah's hair, then notices that the bruising on her neck has got worse. She stands up and grabs the phone. Later, Erica opens the door to Rosie.
Let's get to work.
Rosie flicks through a photo album.
That boy's been walking skin close to her since the day he passed. Just waiting, feeding off her, biding his time till he can be reborn.
This baby is not David.
Not yet. His spirit can't come into a child till after it's born, which is why he's hanging on to Sarah. Problem is, it's taking longer than he expected. And our little girl isn't going to survive another month of this.
So what do we do?
Do what I'm doing. Get everything of David's out of this house.
Erica searches through a set of wicker baskets. She finds a pair of striped woolen mittens and puts them to one side. Rosie takes several video cassette tapes out of a cabinet and puts them into a waste paper bin. In the kitchen, Erica takes items out of a cupboard and puts them into a grey bin bag. She puts the bag down and looks around. Erica opens the door to a dingy basement. She flicks the light switch on and off, but the light is broken. Erica makes her way cautiously down the stairs. As she nears the bottom, her steps become slower as she looks around the gloomy cellar. A light shines out from behind a curtain at the bottom of the stairs. Erica walks nervously towards it. As she nears the curtain, she sees a shadow pass fleetingly across the bottom of it. Wide-eyed with fear, Erica looks back up the stairs, then tentatively steps forwards, reaches out a hand, and draws the curtain back. Sarah's doll's house sits at the end of one part of the basement, rays of bright light pouring out of every window. Erica stands and stares at it in shock. She walks slowly towards it. Something inside the doll's house seems to watch Erica, who stands in front of the illuminated wooden house, staring at it as if in a trance. Erica jumps as a hand reaches up from behind and touches her on the shoulder.
Ah! Rosie.
That's a spirit house. What's it doing here?
I don't know. I thought we left it up at the cabin.
No wonder David's been so strong. You invited a spirit into your home. Give him a place to live.
Erica and Rosie stand and stare at the doll's house. Erica walks slowly forwards and peers at it more closely. Later, the two women carry it towards the stairs.
Rosie, turn it. All right, you're coming up on the step, okay? Wait!
Are you all right?
Yeah.
I don't think it's gonna work.
Ow! Damn it!
Are you okay?
Stop.
Look, maybe you shouldn't be doing this, Erica.
idea.
A large axe is raised into the air. Erica brings it down onto the doll's house. With the first blow, the pitched roof caves in and the turret roof falls off. Erica continues to hit at it repeatedly. Later, large orange flames lick around the doll's house and its furniture as it sits on a bonfire on the lawn outside the house. Photographs of David burn along with it. Erica throws the turret roof onto it.
That's the last of it.
May my hands be fresh. May the road be clear. May this house and this child be clean. Okay, honey. It's your turn now.
I'm scared.
Oh, don't be scared. I feel sorry for him. Poor boy doesn't know he's dead. It's up to us to help him move on, okay? Go ahead now.
Sarah looks at Erica.
It's okay. Come on, you can do it. I know you can do this. This is the last thing you have to do, and then everything's gonna be okay. Okay? You can do it.
Go on, Sarah. Finish it.
I'm sorry, David. I really am. But it's true. You're dead. You're dead.
Sarah throws the photograph of herself and David in their Halloween costumes onto the fire. She hugs Erica.
It's okay. It's okay. Okay.
He's quiet. I can't hear anything.
It's done.
A cluster of candles cast a warm glow in Erica's living room. Erica sits on the sofa holding Sarah, who's fast asleep. She smiles as Edgar walks in.
Hey.
Rosie called.
I asked her to.
Look, I'm sorry.
Look at her, Edgar. She's sleeping. I mean, for the first time in months, she's really sleeping.
She looks up at Edgar and gives him a relieved smile, then nuzzles her face against Sarah's. She holds her daughter tightly. Later that night, Erica lies in bed asleep. A number of toys lie scattered about on Sarah's bedroom floor. Behind a pair of fluffy slippers hiding under a chest of drawers sits David's robot. Erica wakes up and gets out of bed. In a dreamlike trance, she seems to float along a series of dark corridors. Passing the foot of the stairs, she stops and looks to one side. David sits on a chair in front of a window holding a red balloon. Beside him sits a life-size doll with long, wavy hair. David looks up at Erica, then lets the balloon go. It floats upwards. The doll's eyes open as Erica and David watch the balloon ascend. It travels out of the doll's house and up the middle of a long, winding staircase. Erica runs up the staircase after the balloon. At the top of the staircase is a huge domed ceiling. The balloon sits in the center of it. Erica stands and looks up at the balloon. The balloon pops. Erica wakes up from her dream and sits up looking worried. She hurries along a corridor towards Sarah's room. Sarah's bed is empty.
Sarah?
Where's she?
Erica remembers her dream.
The attic.
Erica hurries up a flight of stairs.
Sarah, honey.
She's sitting on a window ledge.
Don't move.
Mommy, you said you'd leave me alone.
Daddy is just coming to get you, okay?
Baby, then we're gonna take you down to your bed, all right? That way you can sleep.
No, he won't let me.
Sarah.
Sarah walks across a narrow roof.
Sarah, honey, you're scaring Mommy.
Sarah stands on the edge of the roof and drops David's robot off it.
Sarah?
It's okay. David says it doesn't hurt.
Sarah!
Mr. and Mrs. Lewis? We did a CAT scan.
Okay.
The good news is she didn't fracture her skull. But I'm not gonna lie to you. She suffered severe head trauma. There's a lot about these kind of brain injuries that we just don't know. We've drained the excess fluid and stabilized her, but the rest is up to Sarah.
Erica wipes away her tears, then walks out of the room. Erica comes face to face with Heather.
Who called you?
No one. I just knew.
Erica, her face streaked with tears, stares at her twin for a moment, then pulls her to one side. She looks at her earnestly.
Do you really believe David is trying to come back and won't let go of Sarah until he does?
I do.
Erica's thoughtful.
Then we're gonna give David what he wants.
Heather smiles at her sister, triumphant. Later.
Hello, Dr. Lord.
Heather, dressed in a black V-neck sweater and black trousers, walks down a hospital corridor. She checks to see that the nurse is gone, then heads into a side room. Heather re-emerges from the room and pulls her top down. She then walks back the way she came. Later, she prepares a syringe.
This should induce labor within the next hour. You're at 34 weeks. The last 6 weeks are mostly insurance. Are you sure you want to do this? If I don't, he's going to take her. Just do it before I lose my nerve.
Heather pushes the needle into Erica's right arm. Erica winces as Heather injects the drugs. Heather completes the injection and puts the syringe back down.
So what happens now? You're gonna have a baby. Good, good, good. Yeah. Okay.
In the delivery room.
Come on, small breaths. The head is crowning. You're doing great. This baby's in a big hurry to come into this world. Come on now, Erica. Just give me one more push.
Erica's face is screwed up in pain as she delivers the baby. Edgar's with Sarah in her hospital room.
Come back to us, okay?
Edgar strokes his daughter's forehead. Erica.
Here it comes.
Congratulations, Erica. You have a beautiful baby girl.
Heather frowns.
That's not right. It can't be a girl.
Say hello to your new daughter.
No, that's not right. It can't be a girl.
Call Edgar.
Heather stares at Erica and the baby in shock, then turns and hurries away. A nurse takes the newborn off Erica. Heather's on the phone.
Edgar, it's Heather. How's Sarah?
Erica stares at Heather in anticipation.
How's Sarah? Heather, how's my baby? Nothing's changed. Maybe this was a mistake. Maybe this was all wrong.
Erica lies back on the birthing chair in distress. She suddenly screws her face up in pain.
What is it?
We've got another one.
What?
It's a footling breech jam that won't budge.
What are we gonna do?
To a nurse.
Hey, anesthesiology in the OR. Erica, I'm gonna have to do an emergency C-section. I think we have a cord around the neck.
Okay, it's okay. I'm right here.
Erica is rushed along a corridor on a gurney, an oxygen mask covering her nose and mouth. In the operating theatre, Heather, in surgical gown and face mask, watches as the female surgeon prepares to make an incision in Erica's stomach. The surgeon uses a scalpel to cut a straight line down, starting just below Erica's belly button. Edgar sits at Sarah's bedside, holding her small hand between his own. Back in the operating theatre, the surgeon looks at a wall clock. It reads 1 minute past midnight.
Happy Halloween, everybody. What do you say we welcome this newest little pumpkin?
She reaches into Erica's womb.
It's a boy!
Heather closes her eyes in relief as the tiny baby is lifted out. Sarah opens her eyes. Heather holds her newborn nephew and looks down at him lovingly. She carries him away. A caption, Halloween, 1 year later. Children in fancy dress walk up to Erica and Edgar's house. Rosie answers the door. Sarah gives a handful of sweets to one of the kids, then runs over to a little boy.
You're it!
Sarah, wearing a long red dress with a forked tail attached and devil's horns, runs off.
Come here.
Edgar, dressed as a mad professor, scoops her up.
Okay, slow down.
Yep.
In the ear.
The twins are put to bed.
Apparently, having a hidden twin isn't all that uncommon. And if the heartbeats are in sync and they're aligned just right, it's easy enough to miss the second baby on a sonogram if you aren't looking for it. But it wasn't David. He's Jack. Even Heather can see that.
Pregnant Heather is dressed as a 50s housewife.
Heather, I want to show you something.
Erica hands Heather a book entitled The Twin Myth. Heather reads the first page.
If identical twins can read each other's minds, well, my sister already knows this, but just in case, I believed in him too.
Erica smiles at her sister.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Heather puts the book down on a side table next to a photo of Sarah and David. The front cover of the book shows a sonogram of twin fetuses in the womb. Baby Jack lies in his cot, wide awake. Suddenly, a figure in a red and black devil's mask appears and stares through the wooden bars of the cot. The figure stands up and pushes the mask up off her face. It's Sarah, who glares down at her little brother.
Happy Halloween, David.
Jack turns.
Now, I'm the one in charge.
Sarah stares down at Jack, an evil glint in her eye. The mask slips back down, covering her face. ITFC audio description by Jennifer Hill.